Umpire Eric Gregg was working the plate last night in Houston for the Astros-Phillies game. Working the Plate is Gregg's memoir about his career calling plays professionally. Gregg grew up in a poor section of Philadelphia and dreamed of being a major league ball player. His talents, it turned out, lay in calling the plays, not making them. For the past 13 years, he's been an umpire for the National League. When I spoke to Eric Gregg, he talked about the judgment and the instinct required to make a difficult call.
Like, a lot of times you see instant replays and the fans yell and they'll say, well, he missed that. Then they'll see it again and see we're right. Because on a close play at first base, if you're a major league umpire, you know you can't see it because it's just too fast. So the tip we do is we look for the foot hit in the bag and you listen for the sound of the ball hitting the glove. And that's a very important key right there.
Have you ever had an experience where just that nanosecond before that foot hits the bag, you actually blink so you can't see it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sometimes you don't know and you might call one and, like, say, okay, for good example is when you have the foot in the bag and it's not a real good pop for the glove. It's an underhand throw, so it hits the glove real soft and you can't hear the pop. And so now you just pick one and you go out of safety and you walk away and say, oh, well, here they come. And all of a sudden nobody comes and you say, gee, I guess I got that one right. Yeah, it happens.
You have to prepare the balls, the baseballs. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What do you actually do for them?
Well, we get 6 dozen baseballs before each game and 12 for double hitters. And we have this mud from the Cooper River in Jersey. And we have to put mud on it because a new baseball was too slick and the pitcher would not throw it because he can't get his grip on it. So we get the 6 dozen balls. We dip our finger in the water in the mud and we rub them down. And this way it takes the gloss off and the slickness and they can control the ball a lot better. A lot of times you see a pitcher throw a ball back, you don't change the ball because it's too slippery and they won't use it.
Now, why the Cooper River?
That's just the place where this little lady found the mud a long time ago. When I first came to the league, it was $25 a can. I think now it's $150 per can of mud. You believe that? I guess we're in the wrong business.
And this is mud that gets sent all over the country.
Every major league ballpark has 2 cans of this mud. And even in spring training. And now they're trying to get it for the minor league guys. But what the minor league guys usually do when they come to the big league camp, spring training camp, they steal a cup of it, take it back with them. Because the minor league umpires have to find their mud before each game.
Now, can you see if the pitcher's doing something to the ball? Can you watch from your vantage point behind the plate and see if he's... I don't know what they can do.
Well, a lot of times they might cut the ball with their fingernails or they might have sandpaper or something, but we don't notice that unless you can tell the velocity of the ball or like they might throw a spit ball when the ball takes a downward motion, like there's no control over it. In other words, when a pitcher throws a ball has no control over it, we know it's an illegal pitch. But we normally don't say anything unless somebody brings to our attention because we're police officers, but not to a certain extent. Now, we obviously the guy go to his mouth, we can stop him from that, or if the guy gets Brill Cream or something different. But if a guy is real cute about it and just doing certain situations, we won't say anything. It's brought to our attention, then we're warning, then we catch him, he's history.
What does it take to get thrown out of a game these days?
Almost anything. It depends on what you're going to do. I mean, you can't direct any 4-letter words to me, and you can just call me a dummy, and you say, you're a dummy, Eric, you can be ejected for that. Now, you got to use a little common sense. If a guy throws his bat, he's mad at himself, and he's cursing, he's walking away, then he's obviously not showing you up. But now, if I'm right there, and I call a pitcher, and he looks at me and says, come on, Eric, and throws the bat down, in our league, that's a $100 fine. Now, if he calls my name, he's out of there. Or it can go vice versa. He can call my name and I throw his bat and be gone. Anytime he directs anything at you to show you up, you can eject him for it.
We've all seen those pictures or we've gotten to the games where you see like the manager and the umpire are like in each other's face going back and forth. But I guess you can't quite touch, right? I mean, the
nose
moment
they
nose to nose, but nothing else. Is that for the TV audience? Is that for the fans? Is that to kind of get the game all juiced up? Because I did see a Phillies game last year where it seemed like the whole game turned on the time that the manager came out and was having a fit on the field. And something happened because after that, the Phillies just were phenomenal.
Sometimes it's just to psych the team up to get him going. But 9 times out of 10, when the manager's out there like that, he has a purpose. He thinks you missed the play and he's going after you. Now, sometimes he might come out and say, gee, Eric, I know you got the play right, but my ball player went berserk. I got to come out and say something. So let's pretend we're arguing. But other than that, they leave. But that very seldom happens. Tommy the Store is one of the best. I'm in Los Angeles a couple years ago, and we have 55,000 people there. And Tommy runs out of me and says, Eric, come on, the guy was safe. I said, Tommy, the guy is out. He says, no way, the guy is safe. I said, Tommy, let's go. He said, oh, we on national TV? I said, no. He said, see you later. And he left. So you get guys who put on a show sometimes.
Well, you've had some experience with Tommy Lasorda, including time in the Dominican Republic, where you worked, I guess, in the minors before you got yourself into the major leagues.
Yeah, Tommy's been a classic. I mean, when I was over there in 73 and again in 74. And 74 is where I met my wife, Conchita. Yeah. And we got married, and I wanted to get a visa for leave the country. And everybody said, well, you can get a visa for it, but you can't leave right away. She has to wait at least a month for her papers to go through. And I said, I can't get married, leave my wife here for a month. I'm going back to the minor leagues. So he said, I know you hate to do this, but the only guy I can help you out is Tommy Lasorda. He's like God over here, like Kissinger. So I said, oh, man. Man, he just got beat in the playoffs. I got to add some manager for a favor. Mm. So finally I got on the phone. I said, Tommy, he said, what's up, B? I said, I need a favor. He said, what is it? I said, well, I just got married. He said, yeah, I know. Congratulations. I said, I need a visa to get Conchita out of the country. He said, no problem. Go see Vernon McIntyre. I think the fee is $20. We'll have you out there in 10 minutes. And the next day I went and saw Vernon McIntyre. It was a line of Dominicans waiting to get visas. And I walked right ahead of them, signed the papers. This guy wished me the best of luck, asked me to sign a baseball for him, and I was on my way. I come back the next year, and I got Tommy Lasorda down there again. And all of a sudden, now I got plays all over the place calling his guys out. And he said, wait a minute. I did you a favor last year. You can't be calling my guys out. I said, Tommy doesn't work that way. He said, hell, it doesn't. So I threw him out, and we've been fighting ever since. And now I go to the major leagues, and he's called the boss and said, you know, Eric has a grudge out for me. So the late—
Is he serious when he says
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because I threw him out in the big leagues. We went 3 or 4 days in a row in Houston. I threw him out. And I mean, it's a young umpire. You can't take anything the young umpire. They test you. And finally, my boss called me to the office in New York. He says, and he knew the whole deal now, see. So he said, anything happened with you and Lasorda? I said, oh, because you almost got me killed in São Domingo? I said, no, I forgot all about that. He said, okay, that's all I wanted to hear. Go back and finish doing your job. And that was it. And ever since then, Tommy and I get along very well.
Do you have any preference for AstroTurf or real grass? Does that make any difference, you think, in the game or any difference in the way that you have to work the game?
When AstroTurf first came out, I loved it because your shoes never got muddy. You looked real nice, and it was just comfortable, like working in somebody's living room. But after, when they first started talking about it, it would preserve injuries and careers, it was just the opposite. It's like walking on concrete, and when it got real hot, it was hot. It withheld all the heat. And so now I prefer natural grass because now I realize I got a little older, and I found out that it's rougher on your legs, and when you hit, you didn't bounce, and now on ground, you do because the ground gives. So now I don't like the AstroTurf. The only thing that's good about the AstroTurf is that we can play a lot more games as far as rain situations. But other than that, I think that natural turf is the way to be.
I know that you've had, and this is, I guess, a kind of a lifelong battle with weight. And you even say that Bart Giamatti was one of the people that tried to help you get off the weight. Is this, are you the kind of person that kind of, I mean, looks at food and gains weight? You have that kind of terrible curse?
I can watch a commercial and gain 5 pounds. Mm. It's unbelievable. I mean, like, some people eat things, it goes right through them. If I pick up a cookie, it's thick to my hand. It's like I just can't. I can't lose weight unless I burn it up. So now I'm on a program. I went to the University of Duke Diet and Fitness Center in Durham, North Carolina, and they taught me a whole new lifestyle of eating. And now I know when I go get a cheeseburger, I can't get it cooked a certain way. It's got to be on the grill. So they taught me all those things, and that's going to help me. But, yes, I have a problem with my weight. Over the last 4 years, I might have gained and lost over 400 pounds in the league, put a lot of pressure on me to keep it off. And it's going to be tough. I'm going to have some setbacks. But now I know when you have a bad day, you can't say, well, I'll wait till Monday to start again. You can start that night. And they told me if I keep my walking up, which is 45 minutes to an hour every day, I'll maintain. And if I watch what I'm eating, I'll lose.
I would think, though, working in ballparks, there's a lot of cheeseburgers, a lot of French fries, a lot of Cokes. I mean, that's the food, right? I mean, that's this fried chicken. That's why we, in part, why we go to the baseball games.
Nothing but junk food. And so they have in the locker room after the game, before the game. And sometimes when it rains, we come to the game, and they say, we got chicken. And it's just unbelievable what's there. But now I learned I can eat my chicken, just pull the skin. But that's no fun, but it's a lot better than eating the skin.
Well, I'm even thinking of all the good smells. I mean, here you are in this place, and it's going to smell like the stuff that you've been used to eating.
That's right, but I also found out those things are killing me, so I really got to watch. My blood pressure got out of hand, and I got 4 kids to take care of, and if I don't get it together, I won't see them go to college.
Do you have a favorite time at the baseball field? I mean, a time that you kind of enjoy the most?
Yes, when the final outs made of the game, and I'm in the locker room saying, I made it through another night. I have a habit of not talking before I work home plate, and all the umpires know it. So we might have a guest come in the locker room, and they say, go talk to Eric. And they know I won't talk. So I say, what's up? And I'll say, yeah, everything's fine. I won't talk. Like you say, I'm talking now, I can't stop. But I won't talk before a plate job. But when it's over, they say, watch him. He won't shut up. And I'll just keep going and going and going. And they said, boy, you can tell the game's over. You can't shut him up now. But before the game, I won't say two words.
Is that for your own concentration then?
Or concentration, and I'm nervous as hell, yes.
Really?
Because I always look at it, if I don't prepare myself and get psyched up, I won't do as good a job. And some people say, oh, you just worry too much about it, which I do, but I always feel if I'm concentrating and think about what I'm doing, I'm a much better umpire when I come in and act like it's so easy. And sometimes I'll do it that way and have a great game. But I just feel better if I prepare myself by just sitting back, just relaxing, and saving all my energy for the game. And then when it's over, man, you can't stop me.
Well, it's really been fun to have you here. I appreciate it very much.
Pleasure being here.
Umpire Eric Gregg, his book, Working the Plate, is published by William Morrow.